One verse in Haggai, now I know that's a small book, and sometimes it's hard to find. I've got a new Bible myself I'm carrying, and sometimes when you have a new Bible or you're not in a familiar book, the easiest way is to go to Matthew and just go back in the Old Testament, three books, just a few pages. Haggai, if you'd turn there, chapter 1. And the whole message of Haggai is summed up in verse 13. Chapter 1 and verse 13. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, what's the next four words? I am with you, saith the Lord. One thing that I've learned and that we all have learned about life, you don't have to be in the ministry to learn this lesson. It's just a fact. That is, there's a lot of problems in people's lives. You don't have to look far to find problems. If you don't have any problems today, you very well will face some problems tomorrow. Problems can come quickly. A moment of time and everything changes. One call, one text, everything is different. Life is filled with problems. I started thinking about some people that had problems. And I want to just run down just a few things to see if this maybe sounds familiar to you, or if you know people, or you yourself have been through these problems. I thought about a middle-aged man that was having a tough time. His mom and his dad are now dead. He's got problems with his children. He's tried to teach them right and show them right, but he's got problems with his kids. On top of that, there's economic problems. And the whole area that he's living in, there's shortages of what you feel like are just the necessities of life. And to make matters worse, being middle-aged, he feels like everything that he ever accomplishes, or when he starts to gain a little bit, then suddenly people get resentful of that. And they would start coming against him and almost become enemies. Even friends would become enemies over his success. And he just faces one thing after another. Makes him move constantly because he's just not welcome in the community that he's in. So what he thinks the best thing to do is just pack up and leave and move. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's enough, really, to make anyone want to give up. But four words changed everything. I thought of a young man that decided to run away from home. He was just in the reason why he wanted to run away from home. He had a family member that was trying to kill him. And he thought the best thing to do and to try to bring peace to the family is I'll just run away. See, you don't know who you worship with. We think we know one another, but we don't know what goes on inside the walls of a home. We don't know who we could worship with today, and suddenly violence come to that home tomorrow, and death come. This young man thinks, I'll just run away from home. And as he runs away, he feels like he's now separated from those that love him the most. He loses all direction in life, and life looks so grim. Had it not been for four words. Four words changed everything. There was another man. He was a sincere employee, had tremendous work ethics. Everything that he did, he was honest and pure in what he did. But on his job, he was faced with harassment. And he refused to give in to that harassment. And finally, after refusing to give in to the harassment, the very one that was committing the harassment against him charges him with harassment. He not only loses his job, he's falsely accused, tried before a jury system that wasn't fair and didn't want the facts, and he's in jail, unwarranted, over something that he didn't do. His whole life is put on hold, and he's innocent. He would have given up had it not been for four words that changed everything. I think of a man that's 80 years of age. He's called on by God to do something greater than he feels like he has mental and physical strength to do. After all, he's 80. Nobody would want to listen to him. There's no way he could do what God has challenged him to do. God has put it in his heart to speak to one of the most profound leaders in all the world. He looks at himself and his inabilities, his weak body, his tired mind. He doesn't have good speech. He can't use words to mold the minds of people. He would have refused to go, but four words changed everything. I think of another man. His best friend has died. His best friend was his mentor. And now that his mentor is dead, he's called upon as a replacement to his mentor. Even though that he has followed his friend and his friend has poured his life into him and knowledge into him and the Word of God into him, he suddenly feels so afraid. This job's too big for me. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. There's no way I have the ability. He would have not accepted the position if it wasn't four words that changed everything. I think of a young woman from a poor family. She's engaged, but she has no real dreams because of her poverty. There's no dowry that's there. There's nothing that the average person would look at her and say, I'm desiring her to be my wife. The average man would just pass her by. She would have given up in desperation had it not been for four words that changed everything. What four words? Four words from God's mouth. I am with you. Those four words changed everything. That sound familiar to you? The man that was having a tough time in middle age, his name's Isaac. And Isaac is now getting up in years. And every time God blesses Isaac, he has to deal with this resentment because God gave him an ability to get well. And his mom, Abraham, his mom Sarah, his dad Abraham are now dead. And he's blessed by God, but in the middle of these blessings, people resent him for being blessed. You know that the world will hate you just for being blessed by God. So he packs up the family and leaves and goes to another place and digs another well. He would have probably given up when the kids got in trouble had it not been for four words. The Lord told him, I am with thee. When you have wayward children and you don't know what you're going to do, do you know how you make it through? By listening to the voice of God and God saying, I am with you. Did it sound familiar? The young man that ran away from home? That's Jacob. Jacob was the brainy one. Esau was the brawny one. Jacob had the love of his mother. Esau had the love of his father. And it had brought great strife among them. And finally it led to such contention over the birthright and the conniving and taking away that he thought, I'm just doing this for my own good. But it affected his brother in such a way he thought, surely my brother's going to kill me. So he takes off and he's on the run and he comes to that certain place, that place where he lays his head on a pillow of stone. And the Lord has a message for him. He said, I am with thee. Had it not been for those four words, he'd never seen his family again. There'd never been a relationship again. But those four words changed everything. Some of you face situations where you haven't spoken to family members in years and years. I think of one dear lady that calls me faithfully. For over 20 years now, her son has not spoken to her and her husband. Over 20 years, they don't even know what they did wrong. 20 years, they haven't spoken to their own flesh and their own blood. Don't be so pious. I would venture to say there's some right in here. You've got brothers and sisters and parents and cousins and aunts and uncles that you haven't spoken for years and years and years. But four words can change everything. I am with you. Who's that Joseph? You know the one that the Lord was with him. And Potiphar brought harassment charges against him. And in reality, she was harassing him. In the prison, he was forgotten about. His brothers had forsaken him, sold him into slavery. He's promoted. Why was he promoted? Because everybody else that looked at him knew that the Lord was with him. He may not have realized it or seen him on him, but everybody else did. Potiphar had raised him up in his own house. He had rule over all the land, but now he's in jail for something that he didn't do. How'd he make it through it? Four words changed everything. I am with you. What about that 80-year-old man? His name is Moses. Exodus 3 changed everything for Moses. On the backside of the desert, all of a sudden all of his weakness melted. The years didn't matter. Four words changed everything when the Lord told him he would be with him. You can do anything if God's with you. And you can do nothing if he's not. Who is that man that had to take the place of the other? Joshua. Joshua was that man that was absolutely so afraid. He knew the impact of Moses. He knew who he was following. He knew. He knew that he didn't have the ability to do it. But then God spoke those words. Hey, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. He knew he was with Moses, but now for God to tell him that he was with him, those four words changed everything. No man could stand before him. No enemy could conquer them because God was with them. Hey, what about that little girl? Her name is Mary. And the angel appeared unto her. And says, the Lord is with thee. And because the Lord is with thee, you'll be overshadowed. And you'll conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. But I'm glad the story didn't end there. But by the time you get to Matthew, the angel again says four words that changes every one of us. Emmanuel, God with us! You go to church every week with people that have problems that we have no idea. There's no way I could stand in this pulpit and point out all the problems that everybody faces every week. And I would never do anything to embarrass anyone. But I do know this. I have seen enough people come through their problems because four words changed everything for them when they heard the Lord say, I am with thee. I am with you. That's what changed it completely. That's what Haggai is saying. Here is a nation that sinned against God. They're trying to rebuild. They found forgiveness. But in the middle of rebuilding their houses, they forgot God. They turned their priorities all around. And Haggai is trying to bring them back to revival, saying if you want revival to come, you're going to have to understand that it takes God being with us. If God is not with us, we cannot face it ourselves. We cannot go through it ourselves. But if God is with us, we can do all things. We can make it through anything. If God is with us. I saw Billy waving his hand back there. Billy came into this church when he was told he had cancer that was incurable. And the Lord saved him. And ever since that time, the Lord's been with him. When his daughter died unexpectedly. Then last week, a nephew died unexpectedly. How do you make it through that? What do you tell your sister? What do you say to Jenny? You say this to her, Billy. You say just what the Lord said to you. I am with you. I'm feeling God this morning. I am with you. What do you do when you're stuck somewhere, Tom, in isolation for 9 months? It reminded me of it today when I went up to the hospital to be with Bob there. And when I went through the isolation ward and the kids went through there. And I think of how it's changed so much now. But when you're in a lockdown unit and even people that want to be there can't be there because of risking your health. Or 9 months you're alone and maybe one or two people interacting. Or medical teams are the only ones that's there with you. How do you make it through all that? Four words change everything in the stillness of the night when God says, I am with you. That's what changes it. Miles and Patty, how do you go through a son being wrongfully accused and you put all your trust in a lawyer? And you allocate everything that you have to prove innocence. But still fear creeps up in the middle of the night. The trial is starting. You've had devotions every day. You've lived in the Word of God. Others have encouraged you. People have called. People have sent texts. People have supported. People have given money. But all of that together, it still leaves a void that's there until one moment of time changes everything when God speaks the words, I am with you. Four words changes it all. Four words. Tammy Whitley's on the back. She's shy. She's backward. A lot of you don't know her. Stand up, Tammy. I'm going to embarrass you. The Lord will forgive me. There she is. Worship with her week after week. Thank you, sis. 8 years ago, they diagnosed... I hope I've got the time frame right. I believe it was 8 years ago they diagnosed her with cancer in her tonsils. Doesn't sound like much when you think about it. Well, they'll just take your tonsils out. Doesn't work that way. That's the beginning. The next step is all the procedures that follow and all the treatments that follow. And I don't mean to embarrass her. For 8 years, she hasn't had a bite of food in her mouth. 8 years. Now, it's one thing if that's all you've ever known. But if you've always, we know how we are as Christians. We base everything on fellowship and swallowship. We feel like we've got to eat or we're not in tune with God. 8 years, nothing by mouth. How do you make it through that? See, a lot of you didn't even know that. You know why? The Lord told her, I am with you. I'm about to have a spell this morning. We can do nothing without God. But when God speaks those four words, everything changes. You can be buried in the mud and muck, Tim. Have a semi-trailer pinned down to the ground with you under it. Water rushing in and sand rushing in. And not able to feel anything down your legs. They're talking about, will you make it or not make it? And I know you appreciate those that got in there and dug you out. And pulled you out of all that. And you appreciate all the doctors and everything else going on. But when you're laying on the hospital bed and you don't know if you're going to walk again. Or you don't know if you're even going to live. But suddenly, in the middle of a room in the darkness of the night, you hear four words that changes everything. I am with you. You understand where I'm coming from? My daughter and son-in-law is here. Our granddaughter was born, spent those weeks after weeks after weeks in neonatal ICU. And you think that battle's over, and then you come to other battles. And now they go through surgeries, and then doctors say this and doctors say that. And some would even like to see them do some procedures that they're not comfortable with doing. And we don't know what the future holds, but I can tell you this. Four words changes everything. I am with you. Crystal's been on the altar today. Her daughter died very unexpectedly. And I know she doesn't say much, but it threw her in a trauma in her life, because you just don't expect things like that. And then to have a granddaughter that you love so dearly and you want to help, and knowing that all of this has happened. And how are you going to make it? I tell you, I think, Crystal, I think I know when things change for you. When you walk through the doors, not because of this church, but when you walk through the doors back there and your very first trip to the altar, something changed in you. And you know, I just suspect probably what it was a small, still voice way down inside your spirit that said, I am with you. We have problems. But the Lord made a promise. He not only said He would be with us, but I like what He said. I will be with you always, even to the end of this world. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's with us always, even to the end of this world. An individual called me aside in a meeting not long ago. And if you'd allow me just a couple more minutes to read something to you. She just called me aside. I was talking to preachers and all. And she said, stick this in your Bible. And when God brings it to your memory, pull it out and read it. And she said, if you can ever share it with anybody, share it. I pulled it out again this morning. And she had put her testimony down. And this is basically it. As a young child, my parents did not attend church. I'm the youngest of three children. I had an older brother and older sister. My dad worked out of town. My mom stayed home with us. But my mom was always drinking or doing pills most of the time. She wasn't a faithful wife to my dad. A lot of times we'd have to walk to my aunt's house to get something to eat. Bless her heart. We had neighbors moving in next door. And the very first thing they asked after we were introduced, they said, would you like to go to church with us? As kids, we would get to go, but my mom and dad never would. Years of going to Sunday school, I learned about the Lord. At the age of 10, there was a young boy shot and killed in our home by accident. At the age of 12, my mom decides to leave my dad. She set us out in the middle of the road over next to my aunt's house on July the 4th when I was 12 years of age. After about 6 months, I didn't have much more to do with her. So me and my brother and sister lived with my dad. We moved and we had neighbors that came over and said to Dad, would it be okay if we took the kids to church? On March the 4th, 1987, I found the Lord. I got saved and I got baptized. It was a struggle to go to church because my dad didn't want to go. But I prayed for him every day. For 9.5 years, I didn't have anything at all to do with my mom. In September 1995, I got a call. My mother was found dead. An autopsy report found it was due to an overdose dose of drugs. I just had a child myself, and here I was having to bury my mother. a mother that I didn't even know. I struggled for years and still do, wondering the reason why she really left us. In 2004, my dad was diagnosed with lung and liver cancer. They discovered also that he had spots on his hip and spine and kidneys. He was also battling an enormous kidney stone. They had to do surgery for that. When the cancer was discovered, they brought us in and told us the news. He's terminal with only 3 to 6 months to live. My world was devastated. By this time, I have 2 girls. And I'm a single mom trying to cope with my dad's diagnosis and raise my daughters was more than I could bear. I became his caregiver, making sure he had medicines, radiation, and chemo treatments. But he wasn't a Christian. And I prayed for that to change because I knew he didn't have much time left. A gentleman that he worked with by the name of Clint started coming over to the house to visit him. And Clint was a Christian man. He tried to talk to my dad once before about the Lord, and Daddy wouldn't even let him speak a word about it. He said the Lord spoke to him and told him just go visit and share the Bible with Daddy. So every time he'd come and share the Bible, I started seeing a change in Daddy, but he still wouldn't go to church. All of this was happening, and it was just a month before he died. On April the 7th, it came to the end of my dad's time here on earth, and I was heartsick, still not knowing if he'd got right with the Lord or not. But that day that Daddy passed, Clint come by the hospital, and he said, I talked with your daddy, and did you know your daddy made things right with the Lord and got saved? I find so much comfort in knowing that I'll see him again. A year and a half, a devastating event took place again. In 2006, I got the call that my brother had committed suicide, taking his own life with a gun. He drank and battled depression, and I guess he felt like that was the only way out, so he thought he'd end it all. He didn't know the Lord, but oh, how sad it was to us. See, preacher, I've had many struggles in my life, and I still do every day with things as I look back. But I can honestly say the only way I've made it through is by the grace of God and the Lord's hand of protection on me. I'm still a single mother. I try to be the best mom and friend that a woman can be. Keep me in your prayers, for I am a survivor. No matter what you're going through, 4 words can change everything for you. When you know the Lord is saying, I am with you, you can make it through anything.